Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough.
Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. If you want to know about faith, really study Hebrews. So what got me on this, and I really encourage you to get our teaching on faith. We have a DVD on faith, and we have a teaching on faith. And I talk about every single scripture about faith, I believe. I mean, it is very, very thorough. And you need to understand faith, because faith is the essence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But let me say this. How many have heard the faith message? How many know what I'm talking about when we talk about the faith message? Most people, you know, it's what Hagin preaches and Copeland and Jesse Duplantis, who I love, and I just bought $200 worth of his DVDs to share here, so get ready. He has some really good stuff on leadership and business and really stepping out. So we're going to, once they get here, we're going to do those in the coffee house on Fridays. We're going to finish with Patricia King, and then we're going to do the... You're really missing a lot if you don't come to the coffee house from 7 to 8 o'clock on Friday nights, because that is our time of hearing other ministers and letting them pour into you. And we're just going to keep that going. We're just going to keep that going unless the Lord says not to. And we're trying to figure out a way when we change daylight saving time to make it dark over there. I think we'll have to put some kind of mats over the skylights or something, but we can work all that. But I like that. I like having a time that doesn't take away from everything else we're doing and doesn't cause you to have to come out one more time a week to grow and mature in God. And you need all that God's doing, not just what he's doing here. Okay, so I was asking the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, I have a problem. And now you already know the conclusion, so that makes this easier. But I want you to see the scriptures. I have a problem with, here's what happens for me personally. Many of you haven't gotten into the relationship with God where this is true for you yet, and I encourage you to draw near to God and get there. I don't have a problem saying yes to God. I don't have a stubborn thing. The Lord says, buy a building, and I buy it. I don't look at how much money is there. You know, I buy, there's the count, the cost, and all that, and that's the knowing that you're hearing God and walking with God. But see, I know that because I don't have an idol about it. Like, for God to get me to buy a $500,000 building when I have about $200 in the bank and maybe 30 people being a part of the ministry, and other 30, probably only 10 at the time or 20 had decent jobs. And, you know, it's just not the ideal situation to even think for a minute somebody's going to give you a loan for a $500,000 building. And then all the rest that happened, and lights that cost $1,000, doors that cost $1,000. Crazy what the city adds on. You know, crazy. I say, might have been good to rent for a while, but God wanted us to have it. And it changes everything when you buy it. And so when the Lord said to do it, I was bold. And when I walked in this building, and it was nothing but a gigantic mess. There was no walls. The insulation was filthy, horrible. You couldn't breathe in here without really, honestly, getting sick. It was so bad. The owner before actually died of lung cancer. And it was so bad. This used to be where they would paint cabinets. And that's what this was in here. And it was dreary, and oh, it was a mess. And I walk in, and all I see is it's mine, and God's given it to me. And Karen and I are shaking in the presence of God in the back room, hoping the owner who's showing it to us doesn't see us and think we're absolutely crazy. And we just buy it, like that day. Like right then, we buy it. And we give them we tell them we'll have $1,000 in 24 hours and $30,000 by the end of the week. And that's faith. How do I know it wasn't pretended faith? Because I gave them $1,000 and I had $30,000 by the end of the week. It was a miracle. But here's the thing. When God would tell me something to do, like he's telling me now to get another thrift store, ha! And he's told us to do the orphanage, and he's really putting in my heart to pump a ton of money into the Philippines to start churches and orphanages and really go for it. And I'm like, yes. And then my brain goes, Oh, you look how much work you're going to have to do to get that money. Look how much prayer you're going to have to do. Look how much you're going to have to believe for more people to come. You're going to have to, you know, and all of a sudden my yes, God has this dread on it of, but how? Yes, God, but how? Yes, God, but how? Yes, God, but how? How many have a yes, God, but you got the but how? How many even need a yes, God? We need some yes, God, but how? But God wants to get rid of the but how. We'll call this but how, and everybody try to figure out when they go to buy it. But how? But how? But how? And what had happened to me, because of wrong understanding, I almost did not want to hear God tell me what to do next, because I did not like the but how. See what time it is? Oh, it's early. I did not like the but how. I would do the but how. I would use my faith and spend time with God and do whatever, pray, cry, talk to people, whatever, to get to the but how. But then when the next thing would come along, I still would say, and that's why your word was still on target, but I would say, but how? So God has got the love of money out of my heart. He's dealt with greed. He's got all these things out of the way that have hindered me from saying yes or being able to go forth. And so I asked the Lord, what is the lie? Because it's always a lie if it's not in the rest. If it's not in the yielded place where God does it, then there's some lies there. They're called strongholds. Okay, there's something you're believing because of something the enemy did or twisted or whatever that stops you. Let me say this. The things of God should come on a silver platter. When Jesus says to those people, do you want to be well? He meant that question. Do you want to be well, which means you're going to have to get a job? Do you want to be well, which means your whole life is going to change? Do you want to be well where you can't hide behind what the enemy's done to you and say that's why you don't have friends? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well where you're going to have to pay taxes? Do you really want what God has for your life, which means you're going to have to give up some of your, you know, yield your time to him? Do you really want to believe for the kind of, you know, finances? Do you really want that? What do you really want? Because you know what? In the prophetic move especially, and even the faith movement, we talk so big and do so little. And we live out a few people doing big and not us. And I'm not saying, I believe it takes many people called together by God to bring forth a vision. But even in that part, you should be thinking big. You should be seeing big. You should be, it should all come together where there's not key players, but everybody, every part joins together for something great for God's glory. And not kind of you being dragged along by somebody else's faith and somebody else's relationship with God and somebody else's, that's called covering. I'm not trying to use people to bring forth God's vision that he's given me for my life. Because mainly my vision is to find out what other people's vision is and help them bring forth their vision and bring it all together under for his glory, not man's building their own kingdom. So I said to God, this has got to be easier. You tell me, what happened? There's a possibility of us getting a thrift store somewhere in the next few months. And, oh, the price to buy it, which I'm not looking to buy it, but anyway, negotiating for renting for right now and probably buying in the future. Whoa, ha. See, I have to get away from the number thing and trust God. And if that's the peace you want me to have, God can give you $100,000 as easy as he can give you 10. God can give you a million as easy as he can give you 100. And I'm going to show you where it's not about your faith, because I believed it was about my faith. I believe, okay, God, I have faith for the vision, but I don't know that I have faith for the provision. Because we've been taught from a spirit of mammon in people's hearts and fear overall. A lot of times I have been taught, or that's how I picked it up, that I had to get the vision from God, and then I had to get faith for the provision. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I had to get the vision from God. And that's been easy. For me, that's easy. Some of you are so wounded and hurt. Come on Tuesday nights, get in small groups, go at it, that you can't even have vision. You just hate everything so much. And God wants to bust that, but bust you free from that. But then there's this place where you have, and this doesn't just mean for, if God lives inside of you, your whole life is ministry. Do you understand that? Okay? So this isn't about you opening a church. We don't need everybody. If everybody in here opens a church right across the street from us, what are we doing? You know? Now maybe if the day comes where we're overflowing so much and we'll say, here, go over there and start a church so we can send some over there and over there. Who knows? But right now, we're not bursting at the seams, all right? But what is it that God's putting in your heart to be wherever you're at? And not just getting by. If you're in business or you're working, the minimum vision you should have is to be able to have enough finances coming in to help, to be used by God for His visions. I mean, that should be one of the main excitements about going to a job should be getting increase so that you can bring forth the kingdom of God and finance the kingdom of God to come and all that. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's getting free from the selfishness that's in the body of Christ. Now, if everybody could get that kind of believing. But here's what I said, okay, Lord, I'm yay for the vision. I love vision. I'm so visionary. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I was talking to Edith. I said, the way it works in me, the way God's made me, I see something, I get excited about it, and I have to see it to completion. I have to see it to completion. It's my gifting. It's like, let's do this. And I want it to completion so I can start something new. That's how I work. Let's get this completed so I can start this. Let's get this completed so I can start this. Let's get this completed so I can start this. Led by the Spirit of God. I don't want to do anything in my own flesh. I don't even care. It's not about me personally. Lord, what do we do? So I already get all this vision, but it's like, but I've got to do this and I've got to get this done. But then that faith for provision stops me every time. It just takes the joy out. Then you can find yourself working and struggling, trying to build up faith. And what happens, you get your focus on your circumstances and off of God. So I said, Lord, I want to understand where I missed it. What's wrong? Show me. And the first thing he took me to didn't make any sense to me hardly, but he took me to Hebrews 9. And I'm not going to do this entire teaching. There's lots of really good teaching on this out there and on the internet and everywhere else. And maybe if I have 10 hours one day, I'll teach this to you. But we have some teaching on it. But it's about the tabernacle and the first covenant. And I'm not going to get into all that in detail. I'm just going to give you what God gave me to help you understand faith better, okay? And I'm not going to teach all on faith. I really encourage you to get the faith message. It's a really big, I don't even know how many hours, but it's quite a few hour teaching back there. All right? And we talked about Hebrews in there. All right. But it says, and I wonder, God, why are you giving me this? It says, behind the second veil, verse 3, is a tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, Ark of the Covenant. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant, when you see that in the Bible, it represents where God's presence was in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. In other words, before Christ came, where was the presence of God? Okay? And the ark represents, it actually was a real ark. It was a built thing, and you could study scripture how it was built. It's very symbolic, and it actually represented the presence of God. And so what was in it would be pretty important, wouldn't it? Because when you see what was in the ark, you see what was in his presence. Now, this is good. I'm telling you, this is really good. And some of you might say, well, I already knew that. Fine, you just don't get it. But that's all right. And maybe if you did get it, you should have told me sooner. All right. In that was a golden pot having manna. Manna was God's provision in the wilderness. Manna was supernaturally. They did nothing for it. It came quick, and they had to expect it new every single day. If they even held it overnight, except over the Sabbath, they won't get all that. But if they held it longer than God told them to hold it, it was rotten. So that's why he doesn't necessarily give you gigantic bank accounts when you're asking for the provision. I'll give you what you need when you need it. Otherwise, it becomes rotten because you limit your vision to what you have instead of to who he is. You limit your budget to what you have instead of to what he says to do. So in his presence is the provision. In his presence is the provision. Okay? The next thing was Aaron's rod that budded. Now most people think this was Moses' rod, but Moses gave it to Aaron, and Aaron used it, and Moses told him what to do, and then Aaron would do it. I believe that represents hearing from God, because Moses would represent the voice of God in that day. Now it would be who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells you what to do, and you do it. And the rod is what made the Pharaoh bow and say, okay, you can go. The rod represents your authority over demons. Your rod represents the authority over evil people. Your rod represents all the authority that you need with signs and wonders and miracles to cause the kingdom of darkness to bow. Where is it at? In the presence of God. In the presence of God. Isn't this cool? And don't think God doesn't think provision is important. He put it first. In his presence is your provision. Quit trying to get it through faith. See, something I asked the Lord recently was, why do the same people go to the same conferences time after time and they're sick every time? Why is it looking 10 years later, the same people have the same problems? And what, where, somewhere something's missing. And the Lord began to show me. I took care of the provision first because I knew if the provision wasn't taken care of, they would totally be focused on their circumstances. The provision is where? In the presence. The authority against darkness, the authority against cancer, the authority against anything the devil's up to. Where's it at? In the presence of God. And the third thing is the tablets where Moses wrote the laws. So where is it that we understand the laws of God and the word of God? Where? In his presence. Okay. So where is the ark? Well, let me see. Who represents the ark today where God's presence dwells? The born-again believer. The new covenant, the born-again believer, is actually the ark. We carry the presence of God. If you would ever, now here's the problem. With my understanding in the past of faith, I thought I had to get the faith to get, I had to get the faith to get the provision. I had to get the faith to get the authority. I had to get the faith to get the word of God, the deeper revelations. I thought I had to get the faith. So I tried to exercise my faith, hearing the word, reading the word, believing the word, to get the things that are in his presence. Let it sink in. Because the things of the Spirit are real, and God's ways are yes and amen. And if God would answer our wrong belief, that if we had enough faith, we would have the finances. If we had enough faith, we would have authority. If we had enough faith, we'd have revelation. We'd understand his word. Then we would focus our attention on getting the very things that are already in his presence. So then I kept reading, and we don't have time for that. But go with me over to, let me find the really cool one. Hebrews 11:6. And I really encourage you to read all of Hebrews, but we really don't have time for that this morning. So I kept reading and reading, and the Holy Spirit was showing me things and showing me things, but these were the things that jumped out. Why was I in the presence of God reading his word after I asked him the question, and this jumped out? That is those tablets. That is God's laws and ways being written on those tablets in his presence. In his presence, reading his word and seeking his face and wanting to know the answers, his Holy Spirit brings out of his word truth, the truth you need for right then to be set free. That's why faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So this jumps out at me. Now listen to this at first. It says, at first I studied what everybody received by faith. And I recognized that Abraham, by faith, Abraham left everything and went. And this is the cool thing. If you study Abraham, you can study all this, but I don't have time. But Abraham went to a place he did not know in faith because he heard the Lord. And Abraham messed up. If you study Abraham, he was afraid to protect his wife from this king who wanted to sleep with her. So Abraham's wife almost, you know, was taken as a concubine by this king. And God didn't say, Abraham, use your faith for warfare. Abraham, use your faith and stop this. God just came and gave the man a dream and said, you are about to sleep with my daughter who is married to Abraham. Did God wait for Abraham to get the faith, to do the warfare, to stop it? No. What a God. And you can look at this over and over. What did Rahab do? Rahab knew that when the spies came, that this God they were talking about was real, and she didn't want to be wiped out. She wanted to know this God, and she was protected. And you can look at Enoch. Enoch by faith. Enoch didn't work of faith to have a visitation of God. But when you study these people, they all represent faith. So what does it mean? I'm going to show you. This is so cool. You ready? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many want to please God? If you don't raise your hand on that one, we have ministry for you too. But be honest about it. It is impossible to please God without faith. So Lord, I want faith. Faith is, and then the next verse kind of tells us what faith is and how to get it. It says, it is impossible to please God without faith, but it is right. It is right. The word, when God says right, God says, this is how it works in my kingdom. This is what's right. This is the way. Go this way. This is how it works, right? This is right. It is right that the one drawing near to God should believe that he is. You can't please God without faith, but it's right to God that if you're trying to draw, if you are drawing near to him, you will believe he is who he says that he is. That's what faith is. Faith is believing God is who he says he is. But faith comes, the only purpose of faith, I believe, and I haven't said that, is to draw near to God. Because when I draw near to God, I enter into his presence. And when I enter into his presence, I have provision, I have authority, and I have the word and the revelation and everything that I need that Jesus Christ really is. I have that in his presence. Do you understand that? This is so easy. I was struggling to have the faith to believe for the provision. See, I drew near to God and got the revelation. I drew near to God and believed he was who he said he was. But because I bought the lie that I now had to have faith to get the provision, I had a stumbling block that brought fear and unbelief and really almost made me not want to draw near to God to get vision because I didn't want to have to go through that again. I didn't want to have to go through what it takes to see that kind of money come in. I didn't want to have to go. And see, the Lord's like, it doesn't take anything. It's in me. It's in me. But because you believed the lie that you had to use your faith to get provision, you then have to work up something called faith to get provision. You then have to work up something called faith to get healed. You then have to work up something called faith to see household salvation. You then have to work up something called faith to get the promises of God. When everything that destroys darkness is in his presence. You have to work up something to have a revelation, to get a word from God. No, it's in his presence. So faith is simple. And you can't get it without a heart that just wants to draw near to God. That's how easy it is. God gives everyone a mustard seed of faith so that they will draw near to God. And that faith grows as you know God. That faith grows as you fall in love with him. Why would you fall in love with him the more that you know him? Because all of a sudden you believe him and not what people say about him. All of a sudden you believe him and not what wrong theology or doctrine has taught about him. All of a sudden you believe him and not the circumstances Satan has set up to make you not be able to believe. Do you understand what I'm saying? This was so exciting to me. This is where the joy is. This is where the joy of the Lord is. The joy of the Lord is believing he is who he says he is because I'm drawing near to him. And then I love this part. What? Now here's the part. See, my thing was, Lord, I draw near to you. I believe you. You give me vision. And then I've got to go work up faith and struggle with cities, the city codes and do all this stuff and talk to the people. And I just don't want to do all that, but I will. But that's not what he says. He's glad that I will. But why? Why do what's already in my presence? Why come out of my rest and my peace and my righteousness and my joy? Why come out of that? Because I tell you what I'd like to do. And then it says, and you can apply this to any issue. See, if your issue is alcoholism, or your issue is drug addiction, or your issue is pornography, or your issue is panic and fear, okay? Where is that already at? The answer to that, not where is that at, but where is the answer to that? Why? Because that rod. You have authority in his presence to tell the spirit of alcoholism, loose me now in the name of Jesus. You have the authority in his presence. Why do we yield to the Holy Spirit in the area of being set apart for God and sanctified, which made holy? Why? Why do we do that to have the authority? No. If you do, it becomes a work. We do that as led by the Holy Spirit to draw near to God. Only those with pure hearts and holy hands see the Lord. So I'm getting the Holy Spirit's shower. The Holy Spirit's working in me for one purpose, that I can draw near to God. My faith draws me to God, but then my desire. See, with our coping mechanisms of the past, of not wanting to be injured, we give up. I don't want to try to go after God because I didn't get faith that way. I don't want to try to go after God because when I tried to speak in tongues, it just didn't work. I don't want to go after God because, you know, that's for another people. I didn't want to go. And those are just your ways of not dealing with your bitterness. Those are just your ways of saying, God, why didn't this work when I went after you? Or why does this look foolish to me? And I just don't get it. See, it's your hiding place. Let's bring them down. Let's get real before God. Who doesn't? If you don't want a relationship with the living God of all things, then you don't want to be a Christian. And what you need to ask yourself is, do I really not want that? Or have I been so wounded I'm afraid of that? Because if you really do want it, but you've been so wounded you're afraid of it, that's a lot different than I don't want it. As hard as it is to believe, there are people who do not want it. Even in perfect ministry, Judas didn't want it. God is looking for those who are looking for him. And nobody has ever died looking for God who did not find him, at least in enough revelation to be in heaven eternally. No one. It's not about the soul hearing something and just saying a prayer. It's about the spirit of man and the soul of man seeking his God, his creator. No one is going to give them, don't be upset about some of the stuff going on in the media. No one's going to give themselves over to reprobate thinking and really walk away from the truth of God's word if they really want God. Quit yelling at them, screaming at them. Just show them the kind of love that maybe it will help their injured places fall down enough for God's love to come in and begin to rescue them. Because we have tried with pretended faith to set the captive free instead of bringing them into his presence where there is freedom. Because we haven't been in his presence, a lot of people. See, and the thing is, a lot of people who learn to enter into his presence or love him and enter into his presence, they then have the power and the authority, and we think it's because of their faith. Now, I know the Bible says your faith has healed you. Okay? But that was their drawing near to God. That woman who touched the hem of his garment touched Jesus. And he said, your faith has healed you. That's as close as coming into his presence you could come before the Holy Spirit came. Okay, now listen to this. What I was saying, my thinking was, I'll draw near to God, and I believe him, therefore I'll buy the building. I draw near to God, I do believe him, therefore I'll say yes to the orphanage. Wasn't it something when God had us do that, his presence came in such a powerful way? And then you say yes. In his presence you believe him, you say yes. But as soon as, because of the lie in me, it was like, now how do we get the provision? And that fear and doubt and unbelief actually empowers the enemy to keep it from you. And so, this third part is really important, though it seems kind of like cute words. He says in his word, you can't please me without faith, but here's the right way. Really draw near to God. Believe that he is who he is. And let me say what lurks about my heart. Drawing near to God is also drawing near to understanding the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. It is a process of communication and fellowship with all of who God is. It's not just an understanding of who Jesus is as the Savior. It goes deeper. Who are you, Father? Who are you, Father God, that Jesus says, I should ask you now because you love me and you will answer me. Am I asking you? Why am I afraid to ask you? And let me tell you, for me personally, one of the things that stops me from going deeper in the truth in God is when I hear it mispreached or somebody seems to have the wrong spirit, and then you want to throw out the whole thing. You've got to learn not to throw out the whole thing. What does the word say? What does the word say? What does the word say? Holy Spirit, in your presence, show me how this really works. And let me say this. I'm not criticizing or knocking anybody or any move of God because we're all in this together. Do you know what I'm saying? God is adding line upon line from precept to precept, glory to glory. He set it up that way. So I'm not asking or believing that some of the people who taught the faith message and didn't have this revelation, I'm not blaming them. They had the revelation they had for where they were at, and it got the church to the next place. The same with the revelation as the Father and his love and us not being orphans in the same place as Jesus is the bridegroom and all these different revelations. Yay, but it's in drawing near to God. It's not in going, if you go to a conference to draw near to God, if you come here to church to draw near to God, if you listen to teaching to draw near to God, if you would focus all of your effort on drawing near to God for real, everything's going to be great in your life. But because of our wrong thinking, because of our fear and because of circumstances, a lot of our drawing near to God is really drawing near, running to God to get healed, running to God to get money, running to God to get the job, running to God to get this, running to God to save a relationship. And it has nothing to do with drawing near to God. It's much more like using God. And he's even faithful in that because he's so good. But he's still believing that as he blesses and as he gives, we will start to fall in love with him. And we will get rid of these injured places that stop us from wanting to know God. We will get rid of those things that have been lied about God, and we'll quit lying about God so we can enter into that. He then says this, and that he, okay, listen, for it is right that the one drawing near to God should believe that he is. What he's saying, hey, this is how it works if you really draw near to God. Not with your mouth only, not with your actions only, but with your heart. If you really draw near to God, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to hang out with you. I want to enjoy you. I want to know who you are. I want to know everything about you. I want to be close to you, God. then the Bible says when that is your heart, you will believe that he is. You will believe that he is the healer. You will believe that he is the provider. You will believe that he is the answer. You will believe that he is who he says that he is. You will believe his word over what the enemy tells you. You will believe his word over what your flesh tells you. You believe him over your circumstances. You will believe him over your hurt places. You will believe him. Why? Because you drew near to him. And if you don't believe him, I will tell you why you're not drawing near to him. And it says, if you draw near to him, because it's right in God's eye, this is how it works. Draw near to him, you will believe he is who he says he is, and you will come to know that he becomes a rewarder to the one seeking him out. He becomes a rewarder. And when you look that up in state a little bit, it means he does good. He blesses. He pours out to the one seeking him out. He doesn't pour out and bless to the one seeking money. He doesn't pour out and bless to the one seeking healing. He doesn't pour out and bless to the ones household salvation who are just so afraid of people going to hell. Do you get what I'm saying? There is a big factor here that it makes it simple. If you draw near to God, if you want to know God, you're going to find out who he says he is. And you're going to find out that he is a good God, and he blesses you, and he spoils you. He spoils you. But the enemy has injured us and lied to us and made it, for me anyway, and made it seem like, oh, to me it was like, I'm drawing near to you, God. I believe you are who you say you are. And then you give me a vision, and because of wrong thinking, which is a lie or a stronghold, now I've got to go work up faith for this. Like leave his presence and go, thank you. You're awesome. You're wonderful. Yes, we'll do that. You're great. Yes, God, I want to take care of the orphanage. God, I see your heart for them, God. This is awesome, God. Do you want to know how our calling to the Philippines is to get to the apostolic path, first to get to pastors, make the leaders apostolic, and give them the truth of God's word with signs and power and faith and the whole thing to change a nation. And then the Lord's heart is, go take care of this orphanage. And your thinking would be, well, how is spending that much money a month on an orphanage going to be the strategy you've given us? And then after I just say, yes, God, yes, and we're praying, how do we get the money? How do we do this? Because I walk out of, he's a rewarder. But I didn't think he was a rewarder. I thought, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not like you consciously think this, but it's planted in your heart. I thought, now I have got to go build up faith. Now I've got to go work on faith. I'm going to spend time getting faith. Now I did know better. I've learned better. It's like, no, I got to go get rid of these lies that make this hard. Donna Jennings, you have to get rid of the lies that make it hard. Everybody, that's all you're fighting. You are fighting lies. You are fighting lies that make it hard. That's it. Lies about who you are. Lies about who God is. Lies about who he is, how he works, how it operates. And religion is all over the body of Christ. And in religion, we have learned who God isn't that we think he is. So he's a rewarder. He's not a punisher. He's not going to make your life miserable because I gave all to God. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder to those who seek him out. He's a rewarder. See, I'm being rewarded because I sought him out. You want to hear how cool God is? I bet you want to hear how cool God is. Not only did I break the bitterness about the numbers, because that was my hang-up personally. See, Satan, God is a personal God, but Satan has really personal strategies against you. He has an entire army demonically set up with a lot of demonic intelligence, demonic wisdom, the Bible calls it, to mess you up. And you can't worry about that. You just have to get in the presence of God where you get the revelation of who he is and that he's got provision. But those lies are called strongholds because they're not little tiny things. They really, really do cause you not to understand God, and they cause bitterness, and they cause the things of God not to work in your life, not because God isn't faithful, but because you are asking with the wrong motive. You're asking amiss. You don't understand God. Do you understand that this whole visitation of yours to the planet Earth is so that you can find God, so that you can decide if you want God? That's what it is. You don't talk people into wanting God, because it won't be real and it won't last. And the world's going to offer all kinds of stuff at the great falling away, which is already coming, for them to fall away. I don't think you'd be here if you didn't want God, because that's kind of what we do here. God told me a long time ago, what's my calling? To make people hungry to want me. Okay. That's too easy. Yeah, but it might not fill the place up, because you're not promising everybody to get rich and get healed. But if they find out that if they get hungry to want to know God, and they desire God, and they don't look to man, but they look to the true and living God, they're going to actually find out they will be healed. They will be delivered. Their prayers will be answered. They will be righteous. All these things will really happen in his presence. But it would be pretty disgusting to want to come into the very presence of God and forget the one who is his presence. It would be like going into somebody's house. They're there, but you don't want to talk to them. Oh, don't get up. I'm just going to get some stuff out of the fridge. Oh, I'm gonna take a nap. I'm gonna take a shower. No, I really don't have time to talk with you. No, I'm just, you know what? I really like your clothes. I'm gonna take some of these. You know what? I think I'm just gonna take some of your jewelry. Let me grab your couch and some of your stuff. No, really, I don't have time to talk to you. I wish you'd shut up. I really don't. You really don't even have to be here. I hate to tell you this, but that is a lot of American Christianity. Now here's, now I got this picture. Here's what God is saying in this. Can I come in? I know I'm being a little bold, but I can't help it. I got to come in. I really just want to know you. And there's Jesus, the door. Come on in. Come on. Hey. Let me show you around. The Father. Fill his presence. Fill his glory. Oh, my spirit's all over. Hey, you never have, you know, you don't even have to leave here. Let me put my spirit in you. Let me just get inside of you. And you're like, wow. Wow. And the Lord's like, oh, you want to know something about me? Here, look at my word. This is how I really am. I'm not like that father that beat you. This is what I'm really like. This is who I am. Wow, wow. And then you're like, but I don't need this healing. No, take it. Come on, take that. Oh, God, what are you giving me all this money for? I found you. I don't need this. I know, but just go have a good time. Just go have a good time. But God, you know, and you're walking out, loaded down, but you got him in you, you got all his stuff all around you, and it's like, I don't need any of this. But he wants you to have it, and he wants you to use it for your glory. But if the stuff is why you came in, there's no faith. And pretty soon, there's no faith, so the provision isn't there anymore. God didn't cut you off. You just lost his presence. And God's so faithful to his word and so faithful that if he's put gifting in you, you still get to keep the gifting. You can still preach. You can still play drums. You can still play the keyboard. You can still be the most hospitable person anyone's ever seen. The Bible says, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? And he says, away from me, you work of iniquity. See, I don't know you. You never came to my house to hang out. You never took my presence with you. You just got my stuff. And you were satisfied with my stuff instead of with me. It's like you kind of were. And then the other way of thinking, like, oh, yes, God, I love your presence. I love your presence. But now, let me leave here and go figure out how to do this. I hate this part, God. I hate this part of leaving your presence and having to figure all this out. Maybe I'll just go and be a monk or something. Maybe I'll just go, I'll just be an intercessor, and I'll just stay and pray and never have to really, and I'm not knocking that God's called people to really pray for things that's not about themselves, but I am saying I do not see that anybody can hide behind intercession and not go out and do the real deal. Just like any of it. God's inside of you. I'm not saying that sometimes he will really call people to pray, and that's a really strong calling, and that's cool. But there's going to be the whole thing about drawing near to God and all the blessings and everything pouring out. But it's like leaving out and going, thank you that I got to hang out with you. God, I love you. You're so fun. You're so handsome. You're so cool. You're so wonderful. I can't wait till forever and ever we're together. And I thank you, God, you're still inside of me. But let me go figure out how to do this. Let me work up some faith. Let me read these scriptures and get enough faith. Let me do this to get enough faith. Maybe I can work this out. And here's God like, wait a minute, it's all here. No, no, God. And the Lord told me one time, I don't have prostitutes. I don't have people who come in and spend time intimately with me, and then they go out and try to work for me, try to make money for me, try to come out and get something and bring it back to me. It doesn't work like that in the kingdom. Ooh. God, I don't like that label. No. Anything, here's God, everything that he has, he freely gives to us. Everything. Everything that he has, he freely gives to us until we quit drawing near to him and it begins to take our very hearts away from him, the salvation. And then that motive is wrong, and then you're not receiving from him like you used to. It's not because he's changed. It's because you've changed, or you haven't gone deeper in him where you need to go. Let me tell you, this is the happiest message I've ever preached, okay? So let's smile. Why? Because I'm telling you something very simple. Faith is for drawing near to God. Then you're going to believe he is who he says he is, and then he's going to reward you because you sought after him. There's nothing in there for you to do but what? Draw near to God because you want to know God. Now, anything the devil has done to hurt you to where you don't want to know God, that's the place to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. That's what inner healing is for. That's what's healing the broken places. God even wants to heal the places that Satan has wounded in you that cause you to be afraid to know God. Afraid he might reject you. Afraid he might play games with you. Afraid he might leave you. Afraid it might all go away. Afraid all the things Satan has done to make you afraid. To everything Satan has done in your life, I think, has been with one purpose: to make you afraid to draw near to God. And if he can just keep you living in your circumstances, then Satan is pretty happy. Because, okay, maybe they haven't walked completely away from God, but I get free rein at whopping them. I get to be in charge of their finances. I get to be in charge of their health. I get to be in charge of their relationships. I get to be in charge of everything. Even though he's Lord, I still get to be the one to take care of the provision. Then there's no authority against me, and I can have them totally deceived in what they believe is the word. Until I can cause them to absolutely be full of bitterness and defile and hurt many and fall away. But here's the cool thing. We don't have to protect ourselves from that. All we need to do is recognize when we're not drawing near to God and quit calling it a season, which God got me on and Mark on and hopefully a lot of others. Quit calling it, well, I'm just grown up. And really understand there is something blocking my hunger for intimacy with God. There is something blocking my desire for drawing near to God. See, we've got to stay now. It's raining too hard to go in the parking lot. There's something that's blocking it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is something. And that something Jesus Christ has already delivered you from. And now you be in agreement that it shouldn't be there. And you could be in self-deceived. And then ask God. Since the Lord, once again, bitterness is a big thing. Because when God took this bitterness out of me, because see, the bitterness was causing me to seek God for money. The bitterness was causing me to read the word to find out how to get the finances. There was nothing wrong that I wanted to fulfill what God's called me to. There was nothing that said I didn't love God, but because of the bitterness, my focus began to get, how do I get the provision? Instead of really knowing, wait, he is the provision. It's too simple. It's so simple. It's so simple. How many like simple? How many have seen it so complicated? Even teaching sometimes is like, this is so complicated. Now let me say this, that relationship with God where you believe him, it gets deep. You get good revelation. You get some deep understanding. But it's always simple. It's always about drawing near to God.
Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.